It's Monday morning and it's April. Time for Food Talk. I'm Marianne Myers and I'm joined by my fabulous host, Linda Perkins. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Marianne. I don't have an apron on.
Whoa.
I know. I'd been wearing one like 3 days straight and I just decided, you know what? It's spring. And I get to have just one layer of clothes.
You do, even though it is not really, you know, toasty out there.
No, but I don't care. I'm just like, maybe, you know how sometimes you think it's almost like a superstition. If I just wear only one layer of clothes, it'll get warmer.
That's it. Yeah. It's a movement. And yeah, also,
the weather cares about what I wear.
If you go out and about with an apron on, you'd better be in a wholesale food supply store. Yeah. Otherwise, you know.
It's true. They don't care in there. You can wear anything.
No, they expect you to be wearing an apron. Everybody else is wearing their apron.
No, it's true. How are you?
I'm good. How about you?
Pretty good.
Do we have spring fever? I don't really yet.
Well, I don't know. I've been thinking about salads. Does that count?
Yes, absolutely. And the fact that we, you know, the array of veg every week increases.
Widens, yeah, which is really great. And it's just so nice to be able to get things. And this sounds weird, but that are really green. They're like naturally green. They're not forced in a greenhouse green. You know, it's just that's there's something different about it. And that's really, really nice.
Yes, it is.
Yay, spring.
I know. What have you been cooking lately? Have you been cooking lately? Besides, I know you're doing massive amounts of cooking, but usually for other people.
Yeah. Well, do you remember a couple weeks ago I was talking about how I wanted to make more curries?
Yes.
So I, rather than making a bunch of curries, what I did is I thought about making curries.
No, but I think that counts, and you don't have to wear an apron.
Yeah. But I've been thinking about going forward in my life. What do I want different things to look like? And one of them is cooking, because I really like Chinese food. I really like curries. I told you how pizza was going to be like trying to make really, really good pizza was going to be one of my like focuses this year. Every year I have a cooking goal, and that's my cooking goal this year, to make my pizza making better. But I think I really like salads, and those are kind of the four things. And I know pizza sounds stupid. It makes me sound like a 14-year-old boy, but I love pizza.
Pizza is so fabulous and endlessly, you could just.
Mutable.
Yes, yeah. That's what it is.
Yeah.
So I think that it, you know, I mean, I've had breakfast pizza. I've had every kind of pizza, I think, or anything that was ever available to me. In fact, we just had pizza the other night. Yeah. I just think that that's a really wonderful thing. And pizza dough just with olive oil and garlic on it is a great thing.
Pretty much focaccia.
Yeah.
Close to it.
Fab.
But that's what I want to do. Like my whole life I've tried to like increase my cooking and baking skill. Can I poach a lobster even though I'm allergic to crustaceans? Can I make a bechamel sauce? You know, just all those things. And trying to learn different things and get them all right. But now what I want to focus on is I want to focus on the things that I like best. Does that make sense?
Yes, it's smart.
But I've always been, you know, cooking for other people, and I try to make the things that they like, make them well and be able to make them tasty and stuff. But I think from now on, I'm just going to focus on what I like to make and how I like it. Does that make sense? Almost a paradigm shift for me, seriously. I mean, that I have to consciously sit myself down, take my apron off, and think about that is kind of funny. But salads are one of them. Do you know Lorna Zemetkin?
Yes.
She made this salad once that was so insanely delicious, and she brought it to my house. It was, it had roasted vegetables, but it had roasted sweet potato, which I'd never thought of putting in a salad before. And maybe everybody does that but me, but it was really, really good. And I think of salads as afterthoughts. And then through the pandemic, you know this, I've bought a lot of prepared salads just because that was kind of my substitute for going out, you know?
Yes.
But I'm going to really pay a lot more attention to the salads that I make and make them a lot more complex and make them a lot better.
You make killer Louis.
Oh, yeah.
And I know you can't eat the seafood.
Crab Louis. It's always just the salad when I have gorgeous. It. Yeah, and everybody else in the family has the crab Louis. Yeah, that's like, oh, that's such a sad thing. My stepson is a commercial crab fisherman, and I'm allergic to crustaceans.
Oh, it's
the big
cruel tragedy
of my life.
It's not. It's just another demonstration of life not being fair. It's just not fair.
First world problems.
Yeah, well.
Yeah. But knowing that there would be a lot of crab at the house, you know, that's something that I learned how to make, how everybody in my family liked it, you know, just so that we could use that crab. But yeah.
Well, just thinking about people who are allergic to shellfish of any kind or whatever, that a Louis is a really great way to not really have to handle the item very much at all. I mean, you can put on gloves and break it up over the top and do that.
And I don't do that. I mean, because crab is the thing I'm the most allergic to. I have the guy sit outside at the picnic table and I have them crack it outside. I don't have to smell it. I don't have to be around it. Because I worry, you know, because if you smell something, that's a molecule of crab, you know.
Yeah.
I worry about that. So, yep, they do it outside.
Well, I think it's pretty good because you can keep the allergen mm-hmm. easily separate and make this killer salad that's just fine without any seafood at all if you want it to be. Yeah. So, or would be just as great with chicken or tofu.
So a Louis, I use lettuce. And I usually use a spring mix and then maybe half and half with some romaine because I like that crunch, you know. And then black olives and cherry tomatoes. I use either scallions or sweet onions because I think the yellow onions are just too harsh, way too harsh. Even I think red onions are too harsh.
I think they are too in that way, in that place.
And then hard-boiled eggs and then croutons. So croutons, that's something I do a little different because I just don't buy them. I cut up bread that I've made, but any good crusty loaf would do. I cube it up and then I put half butter, half olive oil in a fry pan. I don't do it in the oven because I don't like them hard. I don't want to worry about my dental work, you know, when I'm eating my salad. So I get that hot in a frying pan and then I put the cubes of bread in there and I move them around real fast so that five of the bread cubes don't suck up all the oil and butter, you know.
Right.
So I've got the oil in there so that the butter doesn't burn, you know that. And then what I do is I just let them sit on one side for a minute and a half and they get brown on one side and I flip them around. And then the next time the pan's a little hotter, so maybe it'll take, 50 seconds to brown the other side. And I just get them good and brown. And then I put them in a big bowl and I hit them with some garlic salt and flip them around. And so that's my croutons. So they're like toast, you know, they're crunchy on the outside and they're soft in the middle. And that's how I like them. And then, there's the crab, and then the dressing. It is pretty simple. I just take mayonnaise and lemon juice, ketchup, and then sweet relish. And then I usually have some homemade zucchini relish, and I put that in there too. And then some scallions, and then just mix that up, and it's good.
It's basically Thousand Island dressing, think one of the things that makes it so extra specially delicious is the scallions.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Okay.
I mean, I don't think you usually get that extra treatment with with the Thousand Island dressing, and it just is nice. It's a little bit of a crunch and another hit of flavor. It's delicious.
Thank you.
I'm hungry. I haven't eaten, and now here we are. Here we are talking about food.
Oh, that's not nice.
I know. It's really not nice. Hey, I just learned something this last week that I will be making forever, ever more. And it is, I know that I have confessed recently in this show, I don't know when, that I've been reverting to a lot of, or relying upon a lot of sandwich and soup dinners, because I've had some health things going on. And so I do the easy thing. Mm-hmm. But I like to make them seem really special. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I saw on, I think it was a Food 52 video. They do the Genius Recipe videos.
Mm-hmm. Which are great.
Yeah. But either way, the recipe comes from Chef Sheldon Simeon, who is a Hawaiian chef of some repute and has a book out called Cook Real Hawaii. But it's a crunchy fried garlic that is better than any fried garlic I've ever had, and it's made in the microwave.
Really? Because I have so much trouble burning it.
I know. It's terrible. I mean, and I'm like, I don't like
it, I blinked again, you know, and it's wrecked, right. You know.
I know. And it's a split second, you know.
How this do you do it?
Microwave. And it is, I've tried it both ways. Microwave, I'm attesting. Anyway, you just get a little microwave safe bowl. Mm-hmm. You chop up however much garlic you want to have, because this stuff is great on everything. And sprinkled on soup or salad, fabulous. I'll talk about other things I've done with it later. But you put the, you kind of like, it's a small chop on the garlic. It's not minced because it gets too done too fast. You want it to have some texture.
Okay.
So I would say just kind of a small chop on the garlic, however many cloves you want. Toss them in a preferably a glass bowl that you can see through.
Okay.
And then
I have a Pyrex bowl.
There you go.
Yeah.
And then you cover them with a neutral oil, so not olive oil, just grapeseed oil, Wesson oil, whatever you've got, vegetable oil, and cover it. So they're really like swimming in oil.
Okay.
And you put it in the microwave and you nuke it for 1 minute to start.
Okay.
You, what you're looking for is them to get a deep golden color.
The color that you want them to be.
Yes. Just not, golden, not, the not dark brown. Yeah. Not even tan.
Okay.
Deep golden. So you nuke them for 1 minute. My experience is that they don't get there in 1 minute, although the oil will start to kind of bubble around.
Sizzle. Okay.
So then just go in like 30 second increments from then on and check it every time.
Okay.
I usually end up in my microwave having to go maybe like a 30 second beyond that and then another 15.
Okay.
But keep your eye on it. And when it gets golden, then you take it out and you strain off the oil and keep the oil because you got this fabulous garlic oil that is great on pasta and every single thing. It's great spread on delicious bread and grilled. It's just like the bonus ingredient. and then, so you've drained them in a strainer and you just have a strainer full of deeply golden garlic and just toss them on a paper towel so that they do get dry and they get crispy and they are so delicious.
Wow.
And you can put them in an airtight container and keep them in the pantry for days.
Okay.
So you can really sprinkle them on everything. And I have been
That's so cool.
So delicious. So,
you know, Kenny down at Busu, he can make garlic like that so perfectly. And I've always been so jealous of his ability. It always turns out perfect.
I wonder if he's making Sheldon's.
I don't know if he has a microwave even. I think he's just super skilled.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe that's it.
But it's so much better to have like a method as opposed to like genius. Yes. Because well, we're much more likely to have a method than genius.
If I have to do it in a pan of oil, I will almost always have to go to the second try to get it right.
Yeah. Because, no, I always recommend. I mean, really, it's just such a source of frustration.
Yeah. I highly recommend this. And if anybody is interested in Sheldon Simeon, you can Google him. His book is Cook Real Hawaii, and I'm pretty sure I got this from I'm positive I got it from a Food 52 Genius Recipe video off of YouTube.
Okay.
And it was used in connection with making platters of poo-poos for like game day or if you're having a thing. And it was just like being a little thing you sprinkled on top of some dip or something, but it was just like, I'm using it for everything and I'm not having any game day parties.
No. Well, and then how you talked about sandwiches, same thing for making sandwiches special.
Yes.
It just always takes kind of like one additional thing to make a sandwich special.
Yes. You know what I've discovered about sandwiches? Every once in a while, my husband will mention something that I realize he would have preferred for like the last 5 decades, but he hasn't bothered to mention it because he's so kind.
Yeah.
I know, sweet. But also, really, please just tell me, God. Yeah. I mean, it's all an effort. So I would hope that the effort was, you know, premium. But anyway, one of the things that he said to me recently was, and it's because I've been making him eat so many sandwiches, although I gotta say they've been spectacular sandwiches. but I usually use romaine lettuce on them.
Okay.
And he said, you know, I don't like a big leaf of, I don't really care for a big, he said it nicely, I don't know, but what it meant was, stop putting those leaves of lettuce on my sandwich. And I said, oh. And he goes, you know, I like the kind from Subway. And I was like, oh, shreddis. That's what he
shreddis.
That's what he likes. He likes shreddis.
I've never heard that.
I, you know, and at Subway, it's shreddis from iceberg lettuce.
Yeah, yeah.
So I bought iceberg, and I've been putting shreddis on his sandwiches, and he's like, loves it so much.
Oh, that's so cute.
But you don't use a whole lot of shreddis on a sandwich. Mm-mm. So I was thinking of other ways to use this iceberg, which is a perfectly lovely kind of lettuce. I don't know, it got a bad rap somewhere along the line. And part of the reason is because we have so many choices now. And
well, I think it's just the lack of nutritional value.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And, you know, you could double that by adding celery.
Yeah.
And then it really wouldn't be worth anything. But I think it's also a really good texture. And one of the advantages of having so many kinds of lettuce is that when you mix them all together, you get this premium salad, you know.
Yeah.
But I came across this recipe. I haven't tried it yet. I will tonight. called stir-fried lettuce.
Oh, no. It sounds awful.
It sounds fabulous
okay,
to me.
Okay, tell me.
Well, we've talked about wilted lettuce before,
yeah, yeah,
right?
Because both of our grandmothers did that all the time.
And,
yeah,
it's
and
so
that's good.
Good.
Okay, so
yeah, it's really good. But this stays a little crunchy, which seems to me like magic.
Okay.
But before we talk about magic, I wanted to quickly say that Food Talk is a co-production of North Coast Food Web and KMUN. And both of those websites are worthy of your examination, KMUN.org and NorthCoastFoodWeb.org. So, stir-fried lettuce.
Okay.
And it's a the recipe calls for a head of iceberg lettuce.
Okay.
That's the reason that I was like, what?
Well, I don't know why I'm like, ew, because I love stir-fried cabbage and I love wilted lettuce.
But
what's my problem?
Cabbage has such body. You know?
Yeah.
It's hard. Anyway, the ingredients are really simple. It's just a head of iceberg lettuce, some soy sauce, sesame oil, some oyster sauce, or if you're a person who buys stir-fry sauce, you could use that, a tiny pinch of sugar, a little salt, and some olive oil, some ginger. Anyway, you guys can look it up. It's stir-fried, just Google stir-fried lettuce. You'll find probably more than one recipe, but the one that I have just ask you to pair out the core of the...
Makes sense.
Head of lettuce, and then break it up into big chunks and wash it off, obviously. And then you just have to drain it in a colander and shake it off. You don't have to, like, dry every leaf. In fact, you don't want to separate the leaves. And then you make the sauce, which is just soy sauce, sesame oil, oyster sauce, a little bit of sugar, a pinch of salt, and however much pepper you like and things. You heat a skillet on medium high, and you add a couple tablespoons of olive oil. And then one of the things that we've got in this recipe is about an inch piece of ginger, finely chopped. And you're going to toss that in the skillet first and cook it until it starts smelling like ginger. And then you add the lettuce, and you stir fry for a couple of minutes until just starts to wilt.
Okay.
And you pour the sauce you've made over the lettuce and stir fry for another couple minutes.
Okay.
It says take care not to overcook because you want the lettuce to retain some crunch. And then you season it with salt and place the lettuce and all the pan juices in a bowl and set it aside. And then while that's cooling for a minute, just swab out the skillet. I usually just use a folded up paper towel on tongs just to get the majority of the sauce out, because you want to add a drizzle of solid olive oil and fry a couple eggs.
Oh, okay.
And so you can serve this in a bowl over rice and top it with an egg, but I'm just excited to try stir-fried lettuce.
Okay.
Sounds great to me.
It does. It sounds a lot better than I thought it would sound.
It doesn't really sound that good.
No, and there's another thing I've seen, stir-fried cucumbers that I've never tried because it didn't sound that good. And so now I think I might try them both.
I've had stir-fried cucumbers and they were really quite lovely.
Okay. I'm wrong.
Well, I
no,
mean.
No, I mean, it's not even like, I'm not even thinking. I'm just like, stir-fried cucumbers, yeah. Stir-fried lettuce. I don't even think,
and
you
also
know?
Both of those things are so great if you don't do anything to them.
Yeah. I mean, somebody told me once I have the introspective ability of a chipmunk. No, for real.
I've heard they're really smart, Linda.
Only when they're trying to get your bird seed.
Well, you have a really great attention to detail, which counts hugely in cooking. I don't know about the rest.
No, I'll try it. And I bet it's good because we stir fry all other kinds of greens. It's just like you said that iceberg got a bad rap just because it's not very green and it doesn't yes. have a lot of nutritional value.
And one of the things that we used to do was chop it up in a bowl with maybe some tomato or something, mm-hmm. but maybe just by itself, and drench it in some kind of creamy dressing. So all you're getting is fat and some dairy, maybe, if you're lucky. So
the wedge salad of old.
I've seen some recipes for really killer new versions of
that. Well, and then the way my parents used to always do it is make essentially that same Louis dressing, a Thousand Island dressing, but they would chop up hard-boiled eggs in the dressing and dill pickles. And that was really good. And then just stick it over a wedge of lettuce.
I bet it was good. It sounds good fabulous.
1965 kind of way.
Hey, I have one more quick use it on every darn thing from Simon or from Sheldon, lemon oil. And all it is using a peeler, take the zest strips off of a couple of lemons, put them in a sauce pot with olive oil to cover and heat them low. Don't let them bubble. Mm-hmm. You just want to heat them to extract all that lemony goodness into the oil. That's it. And I'm telling you, I've had gifts of lemon oil mm-hmm. from people before that I haven't even, it isn't good. Mm-hmm. This is killer. Okay. It's so fresh and so delicious. And this on pasta with black pepper and those crunchy fried garlics on top.
Okay.
Dinner. It's
it
dinner.
Sounds really good.
Yeah. I would say try it, everybody. Just try it.
I always try to use the zest of a lemon before I use the actual juice of it, you know, fruit of it. Lemon is a really delicious thing. Hey, you know Jan Mitchell?
Yeah.
She told me something. She keeps her herbs outside. She keeps them in, you know, like when she goes to the store and buys herbs.
Oh, cut herbs.
Yeah, cut herbs, exactly. That's the three-letter word I couldn't come up with.
Well, I'm just checking because I have pots of herbs on my desk. I'm like, this is
No, but like cut herbs. And she keeps them, you know, in a glass of water, but outside. And she says they do a lot better outside.
Oh.
She says the only problem is if it's like the middle of summer and we're having one of those 112-degree days, you know, that'll fry them. But she keeps them, you know, in the shade if it's summer. But
that's really interesting.
Yeah, isn't it?
Yes.
So rather than in the refrigerator, it's cold all winter outside.
Yeah.
But they have the sun.
Anything in.
I don't know if that's the thing that matters. But
I don't know either.
Yeah, she says, like the ones like cilantro that we complain about on a biweekly basis.
Yes.
that it just keeps a lot longer outside.
The best way I've come up with for cilantro and parsley and mint, any kind of thing that's going to go, because you don't use the whole bunch right away, mm-hmm. Although the parsley goes pretty fast, but I just get a bus towel, a bar towel, wet, wring it out, and roll the herbs really tight in that and put it in the vegetable drawer, and they will last quite a while that way. But if I leave them...
I do the same thing. But with a paper towel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I like the idea of having them outside.
Yeah, except you know how there's always like different things that can happen at cooking and I've never had my herbs blow away. And I suppose that would be like a new, like, oh, I was going to make the carbonara, but...
It's so...
I can't now. I should have asked her about that.
She must have a sheltered place.
Yes. I thought that was kind of funny. So there was something Do we have time for another thing?
Yes, okay. we have okay, 4 minutes.
Sorry, I wasn't paying attention
to the time.
No, that's
okay. I'm watching.
So there's something that I have, just because, you know, it's 2 years into the pandemic, but because I have the introspection of a chipmunk I haven't thought about yet. So, and especially coming into spring and looking, you know, forward to all the fresh things, this is something that I've been doing that I want to stop and I want to change. So because there's a pandemic, I'm not going to the stores often. Because there's scarcity in the stores, things aren't available, I buy too much because, oh, it's there. And it's not like a hoarding situation. I'm not like buying 500 of something, yeah, or even 5 of something.
You're not a prepper.
But I might normally buy one and I'm buying two. Yeah. And what happens is there's too much stuff in my fridge, or I'm excited because stuff is expensive because of inflation, and I'm excited when I see something marked down like salad greens that are, it's the day, you know,
yes,
their expiration date, so they're going to go pretty fast. I am always eating old stuff. I'm eating the stuff in the fridge, of course, that's going to go bad first. That's what you do. But there's too much old stuff. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely.
It's a variety of reasons, and I have to stop that. I have to stop being afraid that something isn't going to be available or that I'm not going to be able to afford it, you know?
Yeah.
And
You will have spent less if you only buy one.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
I mean, there are so many trade-offs in terms of cost and time and environmental impact and all of that stuff that you could measure if you had scientific data coming out your ears and you were willing to deal with it. But I think that one of the things that I have to do discipline-wise to get right with the world again, mm-hmm, is to go to the store more often.
Yeah.
And that's a hard one.
Because of gas and, you know, because of germs, but you're totally right. I can't do it like I'm a French mademoiselle and I'm going to market once every morning, you know?
Well, if you had a boulangerie right down, you know, under your apartment, but we don't live like that.
No, but you're totally right. That's the thing right there. I have to be more, flexible, you know. So if there is no pasta on the shelf, I'm going to make something else, or I'm going to make my own pasta. But I need to quit buying old stuff. I need to quit having stuff get so old on me. I need to quit buying so much stuff.
Yeah.
And I need to have a way better, and I think it's just going to take a lot more brain power is all. I can't unconsciously go to the store like I have for the last many decades, you know?
Yes,
I know.
And also for you, you live along, you know, you live a ways.
Yeah.
So it's a commitment of time and gasoline and your energy and all of that to go to the store. So to go to the store more often is not a small decision to make. On the other hand, really, if what we're talking about is cooking for ourselves and our immediate loved ones, why wouldn't we do? It's the same amount of energy to make the thing. Yeah. And I just want it to be, you know, if I just spent an hour in the kitchen, I want the plate going down on the table to be as good as I could have done it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, it's likely not going to be the best thing they ever had in their lives, but
no,
it is going
to
be as
good,
as I could do it at that time. So, so I have just been, I've been lecturing myself about the fact that I just really need to, you know, and during pledge drive, I remember in one of my pleas to people to send money, I was talking about the fact that I have been in pajamas for the last 2 years. So there's that also. Not only do I have to go to the store, but I have to get dressed to do it. So anyway, it's so cruel. We are running out of time. So I wonder if you have any last thoughts you'd like to share.
Yeah, don't get a quart of hot sauce like I did and have to use it in two
Oh, my
weeks.
Gosh.
But that's another story.
Oh, make a note. That's
Went
another story.
Went to the restaurant
story.
And asked for the large one for the takeout. That's what I got.
Oh, yipes.
32 ounces.
Whoa, yum. Everything's going to be so deliciously spicy. Coming to your house for a breakfast scramble for sure. Linda Perkins, thank you so much. See you in a couple of weeks right here on Food Talk.
Bye.
Bye.
You better come on.
Come on.
In my kitchen.
Come on.
'Cause it's going to be raining out.